Welcome to Transition, Gadgets 360's gaming and pop culture podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about Call of Duty Black Ops 4, which is a game that maybe 5 or 6 people in India are super excited about right now. So to talk about this episode and maybe some secret bonus content at the end of the episode, we have our games editor Rishi Albani.
Good morning, evening, night, and it's a lot more than 5 people who are interested in Black Ops. It's probably one of the best selling Call of Duty games in India.
Yeah, well, sarcasm doesn't sort of come through very well on a podcast, I guess. And friend of the podcast, Mikhail Madnani, is here.
Is this called Black Ops 4 because this is the 4th podcast we're talking about it on?
Yeah, but then sadly, I wasn't sarcastic, Pranay. But yeah, so what happened late last week was Treyarch, the developers of the Black Ops series, and Activision, the publisher of the Call of Duty franchise, revealed Call of Duty Black Ops 4 at a massive community event, and it was live streamed the world over. We took a look, and it's a lot of things. So it started off with the Treyarch chairman Mark Lamia talking about how this is the most the deepest Call of Duty yet. This is the deepest Black Ops yet. It's packed with modes. It's going to be any hinted at it being games as a service by saying it's a living, breathing example of one of the Call of Duty universes and the entire shebang. This was followed up by the game's design director talking about how traversals changed as well. Where you know the traversal in Call of Duty Black Ops 4 follows one of the newest and hottest buzzwords related to the franchise, which some of you would know as boots on the ground, which means gameplay is grounded. So what this actually means is, unlike past Call of unlike Black Ops 3 and Infinite Warfare and Advanced Warfare, where you could jetpack through the surroundings, where you could wall run, where you could sprint, basically jetpack wall run, where you could slide really fast and stuff like that, they've toned down the traversal elements, so it's more grounded and feels more real.
Yeah, it's not like they've removed that entirely. Like, as certain character classes, you can still slide around a bit.
Yep,
but
yep.
It's not as like prominent as previous games, and also I would say that it's not extremely realistic either. I wouldn't see anybody sliding around like that on an actual battlefield.
Yes. No, man, have you not played Vanquish? That's real life.
Sure. well played. It's too early in the morning to react.
Look,
to that.
I travel in Mumbai locals, okay? So everything that happens there
that's,
is much worse than
still better than playing Vanquish.
Sure. Anyway, so point is, it's not supposed to be real anyway, because when Black Ops started, Black Ops wasn't exactly a game in your traditional Call of Duty mold. It it had this kind of near future sci-fi conspiracy theorist bent to it. And that's what made it really appealing from all the Call of Duty games, and it actually spawned from the fact that it had a very it had a really twisted single player campaign, the very first game in the series, and that tradition continued with the second and third game, where there were some massive reveals and some really weird things going on, and it's usually been the most speculative fiction of the bunch. And it's been the most twisted of the bunch, and the developers behind it, Treyarch, were the first people who actually made Zombies mode. Zombies mode was a hidden mode in Call of Duty World at War. Call of Duty World at War was a Call of Duty game that followed the monster hit in the franchise, which was Call of Duty Modern Warfare. So they actually bunged in zombies as a hidden thing, and it kind of like spiraled out of control, where every other Call of Duty game has zombies now. So. So they talked. Obviously, this has zombies, and I mean, as every other leak suggested, every leak essentially was true. Spoiler alert. So basically, yeah, there's no single player. In terms of multiplayer, in fact, that's what they headlined with. They started with the multiplayer. They talked about traversal. They talked about different game modes, and they also talked about why the traversal is also pared down. There's a narrative reason to it. The quote unquote events and narrative world of Black Ops 4 takes place between Black Ops 2 and Black Ops 3. So Black Ops 3 was full sci-fi, humans with mechanical augmentations, a crazy Matrix-like theme. And if you played the campaign the second time, you could play it where you're against zombies and not robots.
Yeah, so basically Black Ops 4 is what? Call of Duty Black Ops 2.8?
Pretty much, yeah. 2.8 Final Remix.
Yes.
Black Ops 3, I think Treyarch used the excuse that only about 4% of players completed the single player campaign, And that is why we are removing Black Ops 4 for single player mode. I mean, that's what they said. So is this sort of justified? Was the single player campaign that bad in the previous
iteration? I don't know if it's about the single player campaign quality, because if you just go by games having good single player campaigns, Titanfall 2 would have been the best selling game ever. But that had like a two pronged failure, because one was it launched very close to or on the same day, if I remember, as Battlefield 1, right?
Same month,
yeah. And everyone's obviously going to buy Battlefield over Titanfall 2. And yeah, Titanfall 2 has a single player campaign that everyone loves. They treated it like, everyone calls it the best single player campaign. Like they mention it alongside Doom and all. But that game bombed. Multiplayer wasn't that great. So these games kind of like live and die by their multiplayer, even though they did put in a lot of effort into the single player. Like in the same thing, if you look at Doom 2016, the new one or the reboot or whatever, that has a fantastic single player campaign, but the game didn't actually do that well. And it did have a terrible multiplayer, which not anyone played except for Switch owners who were thirsty for some multiplayer shooter on their platform.
Yeah, but at the same time also, here's the other part of it. If we put on our conspiracy theory hats here, if we look at the leaks and if we look at all the leaks related to Black Ops, there was one in particular which stood out where a single player campaign was ready. It was worked on and it was pulled because according to the executives at Activision, it felt too quote unquote out there. It felt too outlandish, which is amusing because the entire Black Ops series has been based on the fact that it's outlandish. So that's one of the more interesting theories during the rounds. And I have reason to believe that that's possibly the case. This 4% stat doesn't make sense to me because, and in fact, the leaks itself seem controlled, because at the end of the day, if you want to normalize the fact that you're not doing single player, you want to, let's be honest here. If it wasn't leaked that there wasn't any single player, there'd be less, there would be a lot more outrage. All right. The fact that it was leaked a month ago pretty much has normalized the idea in people's heads that it's okay and it's fine to pay $60 for a game with no single player for a franchise that's been well known for its campaigns and known for the fact that you get value. Year on year, Activision has touted the three-pronged approach of Call of Duty. You get a good campaign, you get multiplayer, and you get zombies. Now it seems that you get multiplayer. You get zombies, and hey, instead of a campaign, you get battle royale. Now let's be honest here. It's not like Treyarch had to start from absolute ground zero for multiplayer. They had all the hooks in place. All right. It's not like they had to start from ground zero for zombies either. They also have a dedicated team working on this. So my point is, if you're saying you've been working on this game for 4 years, you're trying to tell me you've been trying to come up with Battle Royale for 4 years. Now, that wouldn't make sense because Battle Royale and PUBG and Fortnite only became a thing last year. So, and to be honest, if you look at it from a game development perspective, it's a lot of what makes Battle Royale modes fun is actually quite easy to develop for. You need a huge map and you need random item generation. That's not exactly going to take that much time to do. So, I mean, I'm likely to believe the fact that that single player was dropped last minute. To me, it just seems that way.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way to confirm that, obviously.
Yep.
But, you know, this is the state of the game. And I think there's an opinion piece which she has written. I'll link to that in the show notes. That says that Call of Duty Black Ops 4 should not be charging $60 or $4,500 or whatever obscene amount if it doesn't have a single player campaign in it.
So yeah, like usually Call of Duty has multiple editions at retail and digitally, and the $99 edition, which is usually the most expensive before the statue edition or whatever, has the season pass included. They usually call it as the hardened edition or something, which has the game, the season pass and a steelbook with some other stuff. This year, for Call of Duty Black Ops 4, there is no season pass mentioned. So there are some rumors pointing to the fact that this year there won't be a season pass and that there will be free multiplayer maps, but there will be a zombie season pass which will be separate. So yeah, now you're going to have season passes for different multiplayer modes apparently in Call of Duty going forward. And we also have no idea what the situation is with the Battle Royale, because that's just been mentioned. And we haven't actually been told how it'll work, how many people are going to be involved in it. But it's Treyarch, so dedicated servers should be better, because I cannot imagine something worse than playing a Battle Royale game with P2P connectivity.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, even though they did have a big reveal, a lot of details around Blackout or the Battle Royale mode is unknown at this stage. So how they put it together will be fun to see.
Yeah, but the broader theme here is that Call of Duty no longer has anything that's like particularly new. They're sort of following all the trends.
Yep.
So from the little gameplay that I saw, which is about like half an hour of gameplay videos on YouTube, it does seem like Black Ops 4 has lifted a lot of elements from Overwatch.
Yeah, so there seems to be a lot from Overwatch, a lot from Rainbow Six Siege, a lot from, if you ask me, even the traversal reminds me a bit of Titanfall. And you just have elements that seem to be derivative and wholesale, just taken from other games. I mean, that's not wrong. Every game does that. Every publisher does that. Every franchise does that. But fact of the matter is, the Call of Duty series was known for breaking new ground.
Hmm.
It was known for doing different things.
Not anymore.
And now it doesn't seem to be the case. The days of Call of Duty, quote-unquote, innovating are over.
Yeah, clearly. And also, I personally felt that from, like, there was one zone where you sort of, one mode where you sort of capture three zones, A, B, and C.
Yep.
So in that mode, at least, it seemed like Overwatch does it better. But this was pre-alpha gameplay footage, so, you know, things may improve by the time the launch releases. But if I wanted to play that, I'd rather go and play Overwatch. I mean, why would I come to Call of Duty to play this
so
kind of
that's
thing?
The thing. I think also a lot of the design decisions around Black Ops have been influenced by Overwatch in a way. Overwatch, quote-unquote, got away with no single player. But fact of the matter is, Overwatch was never sold or announced or perceived to have single player to begin with.
I mean, it didn't have a branding behind it, right?
Exactly.
It was an original IP. So.
In fact, it was formed out of the fact that that Blizzard had an idea for an MMO that they couldn't piece together.
Yeah.
Overwatch was the remnants of that. And when Overwatch was first revealed publicly, there was no single player campaign spoken of. It was just told that, hey, this is multiplayer, deal with it. And at the end of the day, with Blizzard, you're fine with that because you know you're going to get support for years on end.
Hmm.
Right now, if we look at it in terms of support, what used to happen with past Call of Duty games is that they'd be supported for a year and that was it. Now, because Black Ops 3 and Black Ops 2, even Black Ops 2 till this day, are still being played, now you're still seeing support in terms of updates. And at least we've seen that with Black Ops 3, where they still got zombies. They got a new zombies update six months back. So point is, we don't know the level of support Black Ops 4 is going to get. And that, for most publishers, is a question of how many people are still playing it a year or two down the line.
Hmm. And how many people are still spending money in-game.
Exactly.
Through microtransactions, loot boxes, or whatever they add. Or like just buying, basically spending money in the game in some form or on the game in some
yes.
form. Kind of like GTA 5. A lot of people think GTA 5 is really popular because of the single player campaign. Nope. I don't even think many people who buy it right now even play the single player campaign abroad, given how heavily they are pushing and the new SKU they released, which is the premium online edition. I mean, I bet if they wanted or if they really could, they just cut out the single player and release it for $60 with just GTA online.
True, but then, I mean, at the end of the day, there has to be something that also begs the question, right? If you like single-player games, where do you go?
You go to Sony.
Yeah, you either go to Sony or you go to Indies.
Yeah.
Sony has a great roster of first-party. You have Horizon Zero Dawn, you have Yakuza Zero, you have God of War.
That's not first-party though, Yakuza Zero.
It is kind of because Sony bankrolled. At least, yeah.
I don't think Zero. They did 5. I don't think they did Zero. But
point
yeah.
is, it's on PlayStation. So where you and then you look at Indies. Those are your two options at this stage. If you're the sort who likes single player, AAA games isn't the place to be, because if you look at everything's being turned into a service. Everything's being turned into model for retention. It seems like AAA publishers have borrowed the best practices from mobile games, in the sense that they want to create quote-unquote endless content with spending very little money. So, I don't know. I mean, like, if you're the sort who loves single-player games like three of us do, you might want to tread this one carefully.
Yeah, okay. So, before we move on to the part that we've been itching to talk about, which is PC gamers complaining about something or the other, Mike, do you want to, like, mention the no Steam bit and what like difference it makes to anybody's life?
So Call of Duty games in India, at least on Steam, they've had a very interesting history. A lot of cases, there somehow has been either a price error on another website or on Steam. A lot of people bought Black Ops and Infinite Warfare with Legacy Edition because there was like a price mistake where they got it for like 1/3 or 1/4 the price in India. Usually Call of Duty games are above 3,000 on PC in India. So this time there's no Steam. So as with Destiny 2, Activision has ditched Steam for Battle.net. Now this lets them get 100% of the profits of all the sales instead of 70% where Valve takes a 30% cut. Now they can only do this on PC. Obviously you can't do this on console because you have to sell through quote unquote walled gardens over there. So you don't have a choice. And they also, like, during the reveal, they said that, and now it's time to talk about how focused we are on the PC version and all. And I assume that meant they were actually going to go ahead with Steam. But yeah, it's going to be Battle.net only. You can already pre-order it. At retail, we have no idea whether it's going to come to India on PC yet. Destiny did, so this likely will come. But pricing isn't confirmed yet. Expected to be above 3,500 easily.
Yeah, you can expect a 3799, 3499 kind of pricing on this. And if it does come on PC, physical, expect code and box, don't expect a disc.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and like, we don't even know if it'll show up on time, on release day or something. If you really want to, if you like what you see so far, may as well pre-order it on battle.net.
Or if you like what you see, you should consider getting yourself checked.
Or, you know, play a bunch of other games where these modes are there.
Yep.
Yeah, anyway, so I believe there's one more topic to discuss about this, which is another game with supposedly a single-player campaign is releasing at the same time.
Yeah, so there's so Battlefield 5 or V, or depending how you pronounce it. So apparently, there were also a ton of leaks leading up to Battlefield 5's announcement. At the time of recording this podcast, we're a day away from the announcement of Battlefield V or 5 or whatever. EA is going to call it. Now, it's going to be set in World War II. The reason why they wanted to go with 5 as in a Roman numeral 5 is Winston Churchill flashing the peace sign. That is apparently the logic that seems to be doing the rounds. It's going to take the game back to World War II, take the franchise back to World War II. And there is going to be a single player campaign from what we know. There may or may not be Battle Royale. They're trying to figure it out. But I find it amusing and quaint that Battlefield of all franchises wants to do Battle Royale. And here's why. For those of you who are old enough, you probably remember that the first Battlefield game was Battlefield 1942. And aside from having a semi-decent campaign, Battlefield 1942 was known for one thing. 64 player multiplayer. And gee, how many people are playing, how many players are there in a Battle Royale game? 100. So if you think about it, and it had vehicles too back in the day on PC via LAN. So if you think about it, the progenitor to the lovely Battle Royale mode is actually Battlefield. So it's like repeating, it's basically mimicking itself at this stage. if it has Battle Royale,
it's a blast from the past. No,
yeah, so and honestly, that's not a bad thing, because if we look at how that mode was implemented, and if you look at how large scale multiplayer has been implemented in Battlefield games, it's been really good. The conquest mode in Battlefield 1's been a lot of fun to play. So it seems interesting, and not to mention the fact that we've seen that the Battlefield games have had fantastic polish in terms of sound design, in terms of visuals, versus Call of Duty. In a lot of aspects, there seems to be a lot of polish and production values that get put in. So it'll be fun to see what they do with this one. But yeah, single players a go, multiplayers a go. May or may not have Battle Royale. They're still figuring out if it makes sense to do it at launch or to push it out as an update. But yeah, it's definitely on the cards.
Yeah, Battlefield 5 is made by EA, right?
Yes.
The game is a no-go. All right then. So the games we've been playing this week. I think I'll go first. I've been playing a game which, the studio that's an entire no-go for me for now. It's called Mass Effect Andromeda. So that's probably the last EA game I'm going to be playing for a while, unless forced to play if I'm reviewing any of them. So what happened was last year when the game released, I reviewed the game. I finished about 95% of the single player campaign, but then, you know, like, I had to write the review, so I finished writing it. And the reason that I couldn't finish the entire single player campaign is my playing style in all these games, that I tend to start like doing all the side quests and going and exploring the world and all that. And I just realized that I've already earned a gold trophy in the game by making all the like in-game Andromeda Galaxy planets 100% viable for human colonization or whatever. And then I went and started the game. It took me a full half an hour to 40 minutes just to get used to the controls again. The whole control scheme is not intuitive at all. It's very complicated. So I then got caught up with the side quests once again. But then, like, I had to stop playing for some reason. So, I couldn't get to the main quest at all. And I finished maybe 3 or 4 side quests in the meantime. So, hopefully the next time I open this game, I'm just going to finish it and, you know, throw the game where it belongs, which is in a pile of trash. Because EA abandoned it and I'm still angry. I think the game had potential. It just needed to be patched on the PS4 in particular. Like, they did improve some of the things, like how faces look. And how expressions are deployed and all that, but what they didn't do very well is optimization. Like, it still takes too long for like loading screens to like sort of get away, go away, and let me just play the game. And secondly, yeah, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of the way in which the whole missions and all, how they progress and lead you to the final one. There are a lot of interesting side quests, but I feel some of them could have been done away with. To focus on the more focus on the better ones. I thought too many of these are like just random fetch quests where you're just chasing someone from one planet to another, and then a third one, and then a fourth one. The only saving grace is the writing. I still think that the story is pretty good overall, and the way it's been written, the way the side quests have been written, they're really good. Unfortunately though, this series is probably dead at this point and nobody's going to revive it. There were some very interesting stories in the new civilization, new species that they found, which was the Angaran species. Some very good potential to that. Sadly, you know, it's not going to be realized at any point. And I'm really upset because, you know, the first original Mass Effect series had like really good alien species such as the Krogan and the Salarian. And some of the sub-stories such as the Rachni Queen story, they were really compelling. Like, I actually felt like I could relate to these species a lot. But I still like the game quite a bit. It's, you know, just sad that EA is the publisher that chose to sort of make this and not some other publisher who actually knew what they were doing. But yeah, overall, just a, you know, truckload of disappointment. I'm just going to finish this off and then, you know, throw it away, put it in the cupboard and never look at it again, and just cry myself to sleep every night because Mass Effect is dead. So yeah, anyway, Mike, what have you been playing?
They could still port Mass Effect to iOS, so it's not dead yet.
If there is an enough
they
of
already
a...
did. It's called Mass Effect Infiltrator.
No,
and it doesn't
proper
work anymore.
Mass Effect. Sure. Not Infiltrator.
See, I'm pretty sure they'll do it as a free-to-play game where you like pay them every second or something. But
so
if
it's
that's
worth
not...
it, dude. Like, you'll be supporting the Mass Effect franchise for the future, for your future generations to play it. So yeah. So what have I been playing? Lots of Overwatch, sadly. Like, this, the total mayhem mode has now become this daily rotation thing which shows up, and every time I boot up Overwatch, I go and check if that's there. If it's there, play that because it's the best thing ever in the game. Otherwise, just play quick play. And like, one game was playing with Rishi as well and some other people, and like 83 player kill streak as Moira. Most crazy game ever. Like, recorded a whole clip of that game. I think that was like overtime the game basically, and we got like 7,000 experience after that.
Yeah, it was insane. That was like the most bizarre game of Overwatch ever, actually the second most, both on the same map, Gibraltar, and yeah, it was hilarious. Like, the only other time we've had such a mad experience on Gibraltar is when Overwatch, I think a couple of months out, and you had these people not knowing where the spawn points are. So you're playing as Torbjorn and you set up a turret right outside the spawn point, and before you know it, you have like, what, 70, 80 kills. So yeah, Gibraltar is that kind of map. And with Total Mayhem, it's become a lot more fun to play, a lot more interesting. And yeah, the XP gains are so worth it. So yeah, that.
So other than Overwatch, played a bit of Dark Souls Remastered. It's releasing in a few days. Hopefully stock shows up on time in India. But given Dark Souls 3, fingers crossed. So Dark Souls Remastered, played the opening half an hour on both the Xbox 360 version on the Xbox One and the PS4 version on the PS4 Pro. A lot of improvements. There are some situations where some of the changes might be a bit controversial in terms of textures, but overall the lighting is much better. And yeah, like, didn't drop a single frame, ran perfectly. And this is before the day one patch hits, which should hit later today as of this recording. So yeah, looking forward to playing more of it and comparing it to the Xbox One version, which should show up soon as well. Other than that, been playing some Stardew Valley on Switch, but yeah, that's it.
Nice. Yeah. Well, I've been playing Overwatch, as Mike said, and I've also been playing Detroit Become Human. I mean, just a word of caution, the game assumes you know about the three laws of robotics. The game assumes you have an idea of Asimov's principles of sci-fi and robotics. Make of that what you will. It's a game from the guys who made Heavy Rain and Beyond Two Souls and Fahrenheit and Omicron Nomad Soul. So yeah, again, make of that what you will. I can't say more than that because embargoes, but by the time this is up, hopefully a full review should be up on the 24th.
So just tell me one thing.
Yeah.
Is this game like as good as Heavy Rain or as good as Beyond Two Souls?
Embargo.
All I want to say right now is it's a game from Quantic Dreams. You'll know it's a Quantic Dream game. Make of that what you will.
Cool. My attempt to get you to break embargo sort of failed. It's all right. I guess that's all we have for this episode of Transition, and we will see you with another episode next week. As always, don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram at Gadgets360. And if you have any questions, comments, or feedback, do write to us at podcast@gadgets360.com. The music for this episode comes via Magnus Solai Paulsen, whose album PPP PPP is where the tracks are from. And if you like this show, don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or iTunes. And if you have an Android phone, just go to the Google app and search for Transition Podcast Gadgets 360 and subscribe to us. Thank you so much for listening.